Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independent in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
Yes.
And we have Eileen Dwyer. I realized before I said Eileen got an award, but I didn't tell you exactly what she was. Eileen is the nurse manager of the Infusion Center at St. Francis Hospital's Cancer Institute. Excuse me.
Right.
And that is, as she said earlier, and more people would know the Paul Building than the address. I didn't know the address, but it's right by the railroad. Railroad goes over it.
By the viaduct.
By the viaduct.
Yes.
That's what it is. on Northern Boulevard. And then shortly thereafter, you have TJ Maxx and everybody. Now Ann knows where you are.
Now I see where we are. Now I see
across from the museum.
Across from the museum.
Oh, okay.
Same
right.
traffic light.
Right,
okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Same traffic light. Yes. But... And then in the conversation, what you were talking about on the break was people having surgery prophylactically,
yes.
Which is, and also the reconstruction. You know, it's a terrible thing. And again, I'm not a woman, so it's hard to, you know, but anytime somebody has to lose something, nobody can be in their mind because everybody does it a different way. But at the same time, even doing it prophylactically with all the results or the evidence, not results, evidence, it behooves people. Like my wife could have done one versus two. And she said, why? And for the rest of my life? And it had a spreadable. And he said, it will spread probably, but not definitely. She said, I'm not going to come here once a year wondering.
Right.
Do it. You do the two of them and fortunately, you know, it's
right.
done.
Yeah, for many people, if they choose to do one breast, then, you know, you're really every 6 months have yeah. to have an MRI of the other breast and the next 6 months a mammogram. And it's, you know, the technology today is excellent and they can do so many prophylactic.
Right. And mammograms, from my understanding, yes. are not the most pleasant thing in the world.
Right.
And then I have friends who have done one. But when they say, oh, there's a spot, you have to come back for the next 3 weeks, they're out of their mind.
Right. right.
And then the spot's nothing. It's like, this is your life. Every time there's a... In fact, my wife's even... she's fortunate because her doctor fought. The insurance company wasn't paying for the next test that she was supposed to have. And he said, this doesn't look good. And maybe it was a month before she finally got approval and, you know, it was confirmed,
right.
which is another tough thing. You have to, you know...
Right.
We talked advocates before with Gail. Even in this regard, she was fortunate. She had a doctor who was like, I'm not putting up with this right. when we have to do something.
So every time you have a test, you have that anxiety of waiting for test results, you know. Over at St. Francis, we have a genetic counselor. She sees so many patients, you know. So it's so helpful to our patients to know if there's any kind of gene mutation for themselves, for their children.
A genetic counselor. You're going to see that. What do you bring into that person to have a consultation?
For many diseases like breast cancer,
okay.
you know, if there's a family history, a strong family history, then you should be tested for the BRCA mutation. One parent has the BRCA mutation, then each child has a 50-50 shot of having that mutation also. And that just encourages... So all your children could have it or none of them could have it.
And is this both male and female?
Yes. So, but if you do have it, you have a lifetime risk of an 87% chance of getting breast cancer in your lifetime.
It is. Okay, okay.
You know, so now you can focus on this and you can make a decision on what you want to do with that information. Many people don't get tested till they're a little bit older. So if you're over 50 years old already, you've already lived this long, so your risk is lower. Now your risk is down to maybe 25%, but when you get older, it goes back up. So as you get older, over 60 years old, it's like anybody, as you get older, your chance of getting some kind of cancer is greater. So the risk goes down a little bit when you're in your 50s. Then when you hit over 60, it starts going up again.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so actually that BRCA gene is more important for young ladies.
Yeah.
So like a 30-year-old would have that 87% chance because she'd be more in her prime.
Right.
That's rough.
You know, most of the, I couldn't say for sure, but I think most oncologists will say, depending on what age maybe a family member got breast cancer, you know, you can wait a certain amount of years They recommend that you take out your ovaries if you have that BRCA mutation. Also, it affects ovarian cancer as well. So for young women, if they know early on, they advise them to have their children and maybe after the age of 40, take out their ovaries. So there's a lot of things the genetic counselors can advise on, and it's nice to have for our patients, for their families. Yeah.
You know, spooky. But yeah. The thing is, I suppose, if you have the knowledge, we might as well do something with it. If you didn't know, that's another story.
And it's best to address it rather mm-hmm. than put your head under the covers and think it's going to go away. You're better off doing what you need to do. It's a difficult time as you're going through this, but once it's behind you, it is a great relief, and you can go on with your life and have a very nice lifestyle. There's a very positive prognosis out of that.
Right. With all cancers, you know, early detection is the key.
Right.
And that's why we see more patients, too, because they are going for earlier detection and we're treating them sooner. And, you know, hopefully they don't have to stop in our infusion center. It might just be something a little surgery can take care of.
Right.
Yeah.
No, especially, again, it's today with the number, especially on Long Island. We had maybe 2 or 3 months ago, we had 1 in 9 on.
Right.
And they have a wonderful place, and that's more support, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the information and the sharing, it's like it behooves every woman to have the mammogram. And the town of North Hempstead, we have 3 mammogram buses that go around, or trucks, whatever they're called. And I'm sure, you know, I think St. Francis is one of them, actually, that sends it around.
The outreach, the community outreach program over at the DeMatta Center, they also have a van.
Right,
they do a lot of community outreach projects, yeah.
With technology being as advanced as it is today, and I can tell you personally that when I went for my last mammography and they said, would you like 3D? And I said, oh, what's this going to run me? And they said, no, it's covered under your Medicare plan. And I said, sure. And when I got in to see the breast surgeon, he says, this is a big plus to do it this way. He says, we have increased incidence rates because we can see it better, and that's a good thing. So it's very important.
Yes. Again, earlier detection is the key. Yeah,
that's amazing. I didn't realize that 3. You know, and the fight, unfortunately, which I had said before, it's then the fight with insurance companies sometimes, because you don't want to. These tests are not cheap. So to have a negative, which is wonderful, mm-hmm. and to get $12,000 bill because you have a negative doesn't, you know, there's a problem there, obviously. I mean, we're not going to get into the insurance problem because we'll be here for the rest of the show. But yeah. Women have to be, and again, we're going back to what Gail said in a different subject, you have to be your own advocate. You have to fight. You have to have your doctor fight for you. You have to, you know, and then even when you're going to the cancer center at St. Francis, whilst you're going through the chemo and the radiation, you have to also fight and say there's something wrong. You know, because there might have to be changes made. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, and you know it yourself, I'm sure, Eileen. Yeah. Some ladies can sit through it and be fine. And others have, my daughter, when she had cancer, she had to have a metaport put in because they couldn't find veins.
Yes.
So that, you know, the poor thing, I mean, they're stabbing her and stabbing her. And then somebody said, listen, this doesn't make sense. And on her chest, they put a metaport so they could just hook it into her.
Right. Probably about 3/4 of our patients have metaports.
Okay. Yeah. Which is obviously a lot less painful.
Which if a patient doesn't know about it, you know, then they wouldn't know any better to get it. So, yeah, it's true. We should, we have nurse navigators that follow our patients right from the doctor's office from new diagnosis.
Okay.
And bring them to tour their infusion center. And they're very good about promoting the ports right from the start, you know, because like you said, your daughter, she might have been jabbed and, you know,
I think it's
for no reason.
Phlebotomist?
Yeah.
They had to get somebody. I mean, they couldn't find it. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, after the five or six sticks, it's like, this is not working here. Right. Let's do something else. And then they have to move arms.
Yeah.
And, I didn't realize it was that many people even had it. Okay.
It's very common now to promote them because even if you start out with good veins, by the time you're done with treatment, weeks of treatment and blood work, they really take a beating.
So, right, that's true.
So we do promote the metaports for our patients.
And it's it really is. It was a simple, not a simple, nothing simple. If you have to be put out a little bit, you know, it's still an event. Mm-hmm. But when the whole thing is behind you, and that's what I think most ladies, and I shouldn't say ladies because the men have it too, but after the experience and you're one, I mean, it's like, yes, it wasn't pleasant, but it's over. I'm here today. I move forward, and you're an advocate, not an advocate. Yeah. You're a poster child for somebody else to take care of yourself.
Right.
You know,
right.
Why get sick and have it then to the point where it's too late?
That's true.
You know, I have another friend, unfortunately, she just had it and tried the reconstruction, but she has rheumatoid arthritis.
Yes.
So whatever they used didn't work. Mm-hmm. She wound up with an infection. She wound up in the hospital for about 2 weeks on major heavy antibiotics. Took it out, and she said, that's it. Just close me up. I'm not trying anything else, because the interaction of whatever the thing was with the medication, and I don't have the final answer. So right. Some of them don't work.
Yeah.
That, you know.
And there's a lot of new methods now. You know, most women used to just have implants put in, which could get infected.
Okay.
And like your friend was probably immunosuppressed from her rheumatoid arthritis, so she didn't heal well.
Right, that's what the doctor said it was.
Yeah. Now the doctors are doing other procedures where they use your own skin, and they take it from your belly, and they move it up, and there is nothing foreign there. And it's,
the foreign matter, so her own stuff would work. Okay.
You know, they do a lot of these new treatments, and they're very successful, very natural. Most women are doing that. A lot of women are doing that.
And what I was told recently, I don't know if this is true or not, that in the state of New York, obviously you have your breasts redone and they change and whatever happens. You can have them refixed insurance-wise. I mean, it's not like, you know,
right.
If something goes wrong and that the insurance department lets you fix them.
They will.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think when I heard that one, I say that makes sense, because it's again, it sounds it's an important part.
Live with it, you know.
Right.
So, yes.
Is it necessary to have chemotherapy, or are there, you know, other alternatives to that? And I know there's also various medications that one can take.
Right. Especially today, there are so many new oral medications. I can't keep up with them. There's new ones coming out every day, you know, for all kinds of cancers, lung cancer. A few years ago, we only heard of one, Tarceva, that somebody would take for the lung. But now there is all different kinds of treatment for lung cancer, for leukemias, breast cancer also. But most patients start with IV medication as a frontline chemo if they need it.
Right.
But there are some treatments that they could start right with pills. So not for the breast, not yet, but they're coming. And besides traditional chemotherapy, we have so many new immunotherapies, and they call biotherapies, that are targeted infusions.
Okay.
With minimal side effects. So we're using so much for that. We use like Herceptin for breast cancer, and we use Rituxan for lymphoma. So many new treatments that patients can get easily with minimal side effects.
That's amazing.
Many patients were taking tamoxifen for like 5 years after. They have also other medications in addition to that, I understand now.
Yeah, yes. There's these anti-estrogen pills like tamoxifen, which you take. But there's also ones if you're premenopausal, you take tamoxifen. If you're postmenopausal, you take another pill, you know.
Right.
So some people do get away with just the pills for breast cancer when it's just geared, fueled by estrogen, you know.
We're out of time. Eileen, this was really so helpful and so informative, and you do great work, which is so important, and that's why you got your Excellence Award. Seriously, to come and see your smiling face, knowing I'm not going to have the greatest afternoon, is a pleasure. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.